From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, Thy Kingdom Come, Praying for the Reign of Grace, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, as written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's meditation is entitled, The Mighty Magnet. The text is John chapter 12 and verse 32, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Come, ye workers, be encouraged. You fear that you cannot draw a congregation. Try the preaching of a crucified, risen, and ascended Savior. For this is the greatest draw that was ever yet manifested among men. What drew you to Christ but Christ? What draws you to Him now but His own blessed self? If you have been drawn to religion by anything else, you will soon be drawn away from it. But Jesus has held you and will hold you even to the end. Why then doubt His power to draw others? Go with the name of Jesus to those who have hitherto been stubborn, and see if it does not draw them. No sort of man is beyond this drawing power. Old and young, rich and poor, ignorant and learned, depraved or amiable, all men shall feel the attractive force. Jesus is the one magnet. Let us not think of any other. Music will not draw to Jesus, neither will eloquence, logic, ceremonial or noise. Jesus Himself must draw men to Himself, and Jesus is quite equal to the work in every case. Be not tempted by the quackeries of the day, but as workers for the Lord, work in His own way, and draw with the Lord's own cords. Draw to Christ, and draw by Christ, for then Christ will draw by you.
I stood one day at Calvary where Jesus bled and died. I never knew He loved me so. For me He was crucified. And as I stood there, in sin is life.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. For a number of broadcasts, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the second petition in the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. This is a many-faceted request involving a prayer for salvation, for sanctification, and for soul-winning. In concluding his treatment of this petition, Dr. Cairns will demonstrate that to pray, Thy Kingdom Come, is to pray for the defeat of Satan, and ultimately for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, Thy Kingdom Come, praying for the reign of grace.
If you have any real heart interest in the spread of the gospel, oh, it's good to see missionaries go out. It's good to give them our financial support. It's good to give them our prayer support. We have a hand, as it were, in reaching out across the world with the gospel. It's a joy to know that even from this little congregation, the Word of God has been taken from one country to another, and people have been reached and saved through it. That's a glorious thing. But I want to tell you this. There's a lot more to it than that. The time has come for us, honestly, to say, Lord, use me. Use me. And when people get serious about using the opportunities God has given them to bring sinners under the sound of the gospel, or to give those sinners the gospel themselves, God will extend the kingdom. Bring others. Bring others. Bring others in under the reign of Christ. Thy kingdom come. When we pray that, of course, we're praying defeat every satanic opposition, because we recognize that the world lieth in wickedness. Sinners are subjects to Satan, and willingly so. They're in the kingdom of darkness, and they need to be brought out of that to be brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There are dark, diabolical powers that hold man in a grip that is not easily broken. Who can destroy the power of the strong man armed? Only one stronger than the strong man. Obviously. So, we can't do it. Now, here's the dilemma, as it were. We are called upon to give out the gospel. We're called upon to seek sinners for Christ. We're called upon to seek to bring men into the kingdom, and yet we cannot bring them in. That's the dilemma. As a preacher, I'm called to preach to dead men and tell them to live. But I can't make them live. That's why we come in prayer and say, Lord, thy kingdom come. We're asking God to step into this. We're asking God to set people free. We're asking God to defeat the powers of hell. We're praying, Lord, rise up and scatter every satanic fury and every satanic power. There's a verse that Paul was inspired to pen to the Corinthians that often fascinates me. It has many applications. But the words right on the surface are a great challenge. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, we have taken that nowadays and we have turned it right on its head. And according to the life and the experience of most churches, according to the life and the experience of most Christians, according to the life and the experience of most preachers, the kingdom of God is not in power, but it's in word. There have never been so many theological journals. There have never been so many learned treatises. There have never been so many books. There have never been so many tools. There have never been so many helps, so many seminars, so many theologies, so many this and so many that. Words, 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 and more words. The kingdom of God is not in word, but not in power. And that's the very opposite of the way it's supposed to be. In other words, unless there is something dynamically real to back up what we're saying, however theologically sound, is so much hot air. That is a solemn and awful thought. You and I can stand before God at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to give account not only for heresy, but for orthodoxy preached in the deadness and the powerlessness of the flesh. Thy kingdom come. What we're praying is, Lord, let us feel the power of thy kingdom. Let us feel the power of the resurrected Christ. Let us know the power of the reigning monarch of the skies. We are not serving some puny little idol. We are not preaching some dead Christ, some benevolent deity who would love to do a whole lot but can't do it. We are preaching the mighty gospel of the mighty Christ, of the everlasting God. We're praying, Lord, let us know the power of your kingdom. Deal with every obstruction to the movement of God's power. This brings us back to the place of personal responsibility before God. Thy kingdom come. Deal with my heart and life and with everything that's standing in the way of God moving with power. Lord, deal with my life and deal with the obstacles to me being a channel of the power of the King of Kings. When we plead this prayer regarding salvation, regarding sanctification, regarding service, regarding the subjugation of the powers of hell, and then finally we plead regarding the second coming of Christ, hasten the return and the reign of our Redeemer. We have already read the prophecies. Now we're praying, Lord, bring them to pass. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 13, verses 41 and 43. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's the vision the Lord has set before us. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, we're praying, Lord, fulfill that vision. Let that day of Christ's return come. And as John prayed at the end of the Revelation, even so, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. That's what we're praying. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a theological football. It's not just something about which Christians disagree. Unfortunately, it is that. But in the midst of all the discussions, never lose sight of the reality. Christ has promised that He's coming again. And the Bible speaks of the behavior and the service of the people of God as hasting unto that kingdom and that day of our God. It's as if the Lord were saying, and I understand that what I'm saying now will throw a monkey wrench into many people's thinking. Well, so be it. I know that God in His sovereignty has set the day of Christ's return. And the Father knows that day. I understand all that. But I also understand that the sovereignty of God also employs what theologians call the efficiency of second causes. In other words, He not only plans the end, He plans the means to the end. And there is a sense, therefore, in which the activity and the evangelism and the praying and the succeeding and the spreading of the Church of Christ actually hastens the coming of Christ and spurs us on, speeds the day of His return. When we're praying, therefore, Lord, Sea of Souls, use me to extend your kingdom and bring others under the reign of grace. Defeat the devil. We are effectively praying, let the Savior come. Hasten the day of Christ's return. You know, Christians should never lose the intimate reality that Jesus is coming. Christ told His people He would come. They lived in the expectation of it. If you want to look at it very realistically, listen. Peter knew he was going to die a martyr as an old man. Christ had told him that. On the authority of the word of Christ, Peter could well have said, Christ is not coming in my lifetime. And he'd have been dead right. The prophecy, the promise of Christ was plain. Peter was not going to live until the rapture of the saints. He was going to die a martyr's death and he was going to die in his old age. So there was the whole apostolic period when they had no right, you would say, to expect in any moment coming of Christ. But nonetheless, the coming of Christ was so real and such a joyous thing to expect that it was the constant theme of their talking. It was the constant joyous expectation. They were looking forward, and whatever had to happen, it was as if these were little molehills. They could see the great Mount Everest, the coming of Christ. And they focused their eyes on that, and it joyed and thrilled their soul. Oh, that we would be the same. We can get so much taken up with the signs of the times that we forget the Savior. Signs of the times are important. But the trouble with Christians getting so caught up with the signs of the time is they get caught up on some little scheme of prophecy and they forget the coming of Christ Himself. Jesus is coming again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the prayer. Thy kingdom come. Hasten the day. Hasten the day when Jesus, our Lord, will return. Now, this is the prayer that the Lord directs us to pray. As I finish, I want you to grasp one thing. All that I've said today is the direct, inevitable conclusion of what we saw in the build-up to this message, the meaning of the kingdom according to Scripture. And that being the case, if the Lord directs me to pray this prayer, then the Lord means to answer this prayer. That means, my friend, if you're unsaved and you are brought to the place where you honestly are willing to cry, Thy kingdom come in me, bring me into life under the kingly rule of Christ, like that, God will save you, for He means to answer that prayer. If you as a Christian are praying, Lord, extend the rule of grace in my life, change my mind, my will, my heart, my life, my words, my works, bring me all under the control of God. Bless my service to reach others. Bring sinners in and bring them in through me. Defeat Satan through me. And so hasten the coming of the day of Christ. God will answer prayer. You know, He has already answered it. What was the day of Pentecost? It was the first installment of the answer. And God poured out His Spirit. And as the late Professor John Murray of Westminster said, while Pentecost may not be repeated, neither has it been withdrawn. The Holy Ghost is not in the past tense. He is still mightily active among His people. God has answered. And any time the Church of Christ has seriously got to business with God to pray, Thy kingdom come, God has answered their prayer. What's the history of revival? It's the history of God answering the prayers of people who with all their hearts sickened with the rule of Satan and sin have cried, Thy kingdom come. And God has answered. Can He do it again? He can do it again. Will He do it again? He will do it again. But remember, when you and I pray this, it starts on a personal level. Starts with you and your God today. I trust that the Lord will give to you and to me that earnest, honest desire to pray in the fullness of its meaning. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.